This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, enable us to follow Paul's advice, that we might continue to ponder whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing and commendable in your sight. Amen. Good morning. Wasn't that a fun hymn? It's a bit tongue-in-cheek intentionally, and it's one of the reasons why I thought it was very appropriate, because it truly is one of the more humorous parables, I think, that Jesus gives. And as Dick Hardell used to say, in every ha-ha, there is an aha. And that's the point twofold of the parable. And if you think that hymn was a little tongue-in-cheek, wait till we get to the recessional hymn today. But have fun with it, because Jesus has fun with this parable to make a point. The story that I often tell in connection with this parable is one of my favorite. There's a small town, many little churches in this town. And there is this little Baptist church, and right across the street from this Baptist church, a new family moves in. The hospitality committee from the Baptist church goes over to visit that new family to discover that they have 12 children. This is a pastor's dream for a small church. They're going to have an instant youth ministry. They talk to this family and say, "What do you need?" And it's obvious that they're very poor. They need clothes. So the hospitality committee goes back. They assemble all these beautiful outfits, come back and visit them, and present them with 14 brand spanking new outfits for the whole family, the 12 kids and mom and dad. And they say, "And we would love to see you this Sunday at church." Well, much anticipation results, and they gather at the church that day, awaiting the arrival of the 14 from across the street, but they don't show up. The service ends, and they don't show up. And at the coffee hour, they have a discussion. Where did we go wrong? What happened? And they decide, we'll send representatives over to the house and find out what happened to them, make sure they're okay. And so the representatives get inside the house, and they're all 14 of them are all there and all wearing those beautiful outfits that they had given them. And the leader of the committee speaks up and says, "We were a little disappointed. What happened?" And the father says, "Well, we woke up this morning and we all intended to come over to the Baptist church today, but we all showered and we shaved and we put on those beautiful clothes, and we looked in the mirror, and we looked so good, we decided we'll go to the Episcopal Church instead." Now, if you think, reading and listening to this story, it is the justification to go after any old or young person who comes to church not wearing what we would consider to be suitable attire, get rid of that thought right now, because that's not what this story is about. And I don't think it's what Jesus is about. You all know that I don't like to wear black clergy shirts. I don't own any because I don't like them, and I don't think for me it makes sense to wear black clothes in Florida. Early in my time here at this parish, when I wasn't wearing anything black, someone came up to me and said, "You should wear black clergy shirts just like Jesus." It's not about what we wear. And if that's the biggest thing you are walking out of church, you need to get a life. There are more important things than that. Now, let's talk about this important story. It has to do, first of all, with priorities. And this is the first part of the parable. They come up with all sorts of excuses why they don't want to come to the wedding feast. And understand, this was not your normal wedding reception with the buttered noodles and the soggy broccoli and the rubber chicken. This was the wedding feast for the king's son. This is as if Donald Trump decided to throw a huge wedding for someone up at Mar-a-Lago, up in Palm Beach, and said, St. Joseph's, you're all invited. I think most of us would do whatever we could to be there. If for no other reason, it's going to be a pretty good meal. Now, they all come up with excuses. And they are excuses. I got to tend to my farm. Well, in those days, if you owned a farm, you had people who tended the farm for you. It wasn't going to be that hard for you to go to the banquet and then come to the farm. Likewise, property. If I own property, certainly I don't need to go see it because, practically speaking, I think I would have looked at the property prior to having bought it, and so that could have waited. The examples that are given are to show us that they're not choosing to do bad things. These aren't immoral things that they're choosing to do, but they are choosing to do things that are really flimsy excuses. You know, I know you've all had this experience before. Somebody doesn't want to do something with you, and so they say, I'm busy that day. When is it? Right? That's pretty much what's happening here. So it calls us, number one, to look at our priorities. Now, one easy way to look at this would say, well, what this is saying then, I need to be here at church every Sunday at 9:30 because that's what this thing means. And this is not what this thing means. It means a much bigger picture than that. It means looking at our priorities in our life overall. Worship is a part of that, but it is just the slice. There are some Sundays when you shouldn't be here. If you're sick, you shouldn't be here. Because your priority is the well-being of the people of God. And if I'm contagious, I don't want the rest of the people of God, my spiritual family, to get sick. There are times when there are more important family things that might go on. Your long-lost brother, who you haven't seen in many years, comes rolling into town, and you only have a short window of time to spend with that person, I think God would understand that. So it becomes for us looking at the priorities in our life. And if we don't, we're going to end up like those people in the first reading, and we end up worshiping golden calves, things that just are not as important as what God would have us concentrate upon. Now, there's a very practical way to do this. If you've never done it, I urge you to give it a try. Write down a list of what you would consider to be the priorities in your life. Just list them. Then spend a week with a journal writing down how you actually spend your time. If you've never done this, I bet you will be amazed at the end of that week when you compare what I believe my priorities are and the actual way in which I spend my waking hours. It's a great practical check with this parable in mind to see if perhaps we, in what we are doing, is refusing the invitation to the feast. Important. Priorities. We celebrated in our Episcopal church this past week one of the more recent saints on our church calendar, Vida Scudder. She was born to missionary parents in India. Her father died in a flood. Mom and daughter come over here and settle in the area near Boston. She ends up going to Wellesley College. They end up being quite well-to-do, and Vida has a problem with this because She says it's hard to keep the priorities straight. And so she intentionally dedicates her life to making sure that those who are disadvantaged can have the same opportunities as her. She says, what good is it to have a life of privilege if I can't share that privilege with others? She opens a place called Denison House, a place where disadvantaged people in the Boston area can come and work with those of privilege and to have an opportunity that we all might share the same gifts. Priorities, number one. And wouldn't it be nice if it just ended there and we can all go home? But no. Jesus has a tag on this thing. We can sit there smugly and say, well, I got my priorities straight. I'm fine. But then there's this other point. Somebody has showed up at the wedding banquet without the proper attire. This is a metaphor. And from what this person does not do indicates that it's all about attitude. In those days, if you came to such a grandiose wedding feast and you didn't have the proper attire, they would have provided it for you. You ever had this experience? You go to one of those fancy restaurants, you didn't know a coat was required. You show up, and what do? They take you over to that wonderful little room with the gaudiest sport coats imaginable and let you pick one out to wear. This would have transpired with this guy, and he doesn't agree to wear it. I'm not going to do it. It's attitude. And for that reason, he's thrown out on his ear. This is the got you, the aha for us. We got to look at our priorities, but we also got to look at our attitudes in our life. I know there are days when I've been like this in my life, and I know there are times when I have encountered others that they show up and walk in the door and they start copying an attitude, and I would like to say, go right back out, leave that attitude at the door, and then maybe you come back in. And we can do that when we come to church. We can do that when we walk into the door of a conversation with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, at our work, even when we choose to go shopping. I would love to tell some of those people at the Boys, take the attitude right out of here and come back in later. I don't dare do that, and I don't recommend it either. But what is our attitude? It's practical talk. I mean, when you think about it, if I go into something with a bad attitude to begin with, there's no possible way that there's going to be a good result. So what is my attitude? If things aren't going in certain areas of my life the way I would like them to go, maybe I need to check the attitude with which I'm approaching it. It's a great parable. Check your priorities. Make sure what you think they are is the way that you're actually living. And look at your attitudes. If we do that, maybe we can become like Paul, the beautiful words that he gives us today as he sits in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. He's got his priorities straight. He's got his attitude right. May we do the same. Amen.